Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba. I am been very busy today, so give me a few moments here, and we will get the program started as we should with our favorite song from Mia Keen. And enjoy. I'll be right back with you here on the Road to Recovery.
Pain inside your darkness cuts so deep you'd rather die. Standing on your own has left you wounded with an emptiness that longs to feel alive. You are not alone.
To the Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba. I am coming to you live from the offices of Daniel and Associates real estate. And I tell you that because I want you to know that I am in recovery. I am an alcoholic in recovery, 23 years, 6 months, and 24 days today. But who is counting? And I don't even hear, where's my clappers? I don't, no applause today. Oh, well, I am not prepared. Oh, there you are. Got all kinds of claps. Oh, yay, hooray for me. You know, it's just one more day in my life. But, gosh, I have put together so many days these days of being sober. And it's wonderful. And I just, you know, life is good. Oh, I'm not going to tell you I don't have challenges and problems. One of the reasons why I'm late tonight, because I'm a real estate broker actively working on things. And today, it just seems that everybody knows my job better than I do. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. Have you ever had that, where people will tell you your job better than you do it? It's not fun. And the amount of work, I'm a real estate broker. I feel like I'm a real estate contractor half the time. Because, you know, the people come to us and they got all these problems with the houses. And, you know, sure, if we just go ahead and fix them, but then you got to discuss it and explain it and debate it and argue why it can't be done or why it has to be done. It's like, really? Come on. People, I know we all want the most money for everything, but things cost money today, don't they? Oh, my gosh. Oh, I tell you, this is a live broadcast, believe it or not. We're coming to you live here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Linked Local Network of Broadcasting. I don't know what happened to Fred. Fred said he was going to be setting up his own station, Fred McMurray, who is the founder of the Linked Local Network and somewhat of a social guru. And we have been riding his coattails for the last 7 years. In fact, in May, we will complete our 7th year of broadcasting here on this network, and we're grateful for the opportunity and, you know, to bring our experience, strength, and hope to the listening audience, to anybody that cares to listen. And if you don't care to listen, that's okay too, because guess what? I have a place to vent. I need a place to vent, but I want you to hear venting on a real basis. It's not here. I'm not blaming people and doing this, although it sounds like it, but I'm powerless over people. Oh, my gosh, I'm powerless over people, over places, over things. I'm not only powerless over them, but I'm powerless over alcohol and drugs. But I've learned that as long as I don't drink and as long as I don't do any drugs, I have hope. Because no matter how bad things get, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. You know what? No matter how bad things get, it'll get better. I know this week I probably have a red light ticket coming because I went through a red light. I wasn't paying attention. I was watching a police officer's car, believe it or not. And he didn't see me go through, but I saw myself go through it. Another one, same light, probably my third one on that one in 2 years, 3 years. Oh, my gosh. Okay? It's been crazy. It's been crazy, and I'm feeling crazy. I got to tell you something. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. I'm not going to tell you I don't. It's a lot of work these days to deal with people who are not grounded necessarily in reality. I was talking to this one client today, just recently. That's why I'm late, and I apologize for being late. Okay, he came. He was supposed to be here at 6:30. He shows up at 6:45 and says, hey, sorry. I needed to talk to him, so I took the opportunity to talk to him, and thus we're late on the show, and I apologize for that, but whatever. Powerless over people, places, and things. And we're talking, and I tell him my recommendations, and all the recommendations I've given him for the last 5 months that I've been working with this guy. And he's listened to maybe 60% of them, but there's 40% he argues with me. And debates and challenges. Now, okay, I'm okay with an argument, a debate, and a challenge because I'm a real estate broker, and it's not an exacting science. But I give you the odds based on my experience, strength, and hope in real estate of what your abilities to get certain numbers, to purchase things at certain things, etc. Okay? And then you ask me, we're not getting paid unless we close on these transactions. That's a little difference. But when I give you all this good advice and then you don't listen, and you don't respond and you don't do what or take my advice, that's a little bit disappointing. I'm not going to tell you I'm not disappointed by it because I am. I truly am disappointed. I expect people to listen to what I'm telling them. And here I am. I got a great deal for them. Person, you know, working it all out the best I can to his best advantage as well as the buyer's, because it's got to be a win-win situation. Long story short, he finally agreed to it, but not before, he taps into me and says, hey, why don't I make a contribution? Because I'm not buying the property. I'm not selling the property. I'm getting him lots of money for this building and the condition that it's in. And I think he should be grateful. In fact, I think I should get a bonus for doing such a great job. But that's okay. I'm willing to just accept what I'm supposed to get and not have to argue, wrestle, and fight everybody. This week was a great argument of maybe why I should retire after 37 years in real estate. Because it's not getting any better. People are still, they're getting worse. What they want, what they expect. I think everybody needs a meeting. I'm glad I have one. Knock wood. I'm glad I have you guys to talk to. And if you want to talk to me, if you have an argument, a comment, or anything you want to make at any point in the next hour and a half, 2 hours, as long as I'm on the air, you're welcome to call in. Area code 323-580-5755. I'm not trying to sugarcoat sobriety. Because it's not always sugar, sweet, and nice. But I'll tell you what, it's worth it. See, that's the difference, guys. Okay? Understand something. It doesn't mean that just because I'm sober that everything's going to go my way, that the world is going to be most wonderful and cha-cha-cha. You know, I'll tell you what, it's not. I still bleed. Somebody pokes me. I'm not Superman. I still, you know, have to watch my health. The list goes on and on. I still have my personal shortcomings, but at least I'm not caught up in my addiction, the one that was really hurting me, and that was my drinking. Okay? I'm making better decisions in my life today because I'm not drinking. I'm not drugging. Do I still make mistakes? I do. Do people still have unrealistic expectations of me? They do. Do I have unrealistic expectations? Probably. But I'm working at it, okay? I am working at it. I'm trying to get better. And join me. Maybe you want to get better too. Maybe you recognize some of the things I'm talking about. Maybe they happen to you. Maybe they happen to somebody you love. If you want to understand what an alcoholic is, it's not just somebody who drinks alcohol and can't stop. I didn't have a drinking problem. My sponsor used to say, didn't have a drinking problem. I had a thinking problem. A thinking problem. My thinking, my best thinking got me drinking, okay? Just like when you hear about these people doing weird-ass stuff in their lives, they got caught up in their heads, and that's not a good place to be for a lot of people. It's called their conscience, maybe, or whatever. You know, do you hear voices? I don't hear voices, but I understand that comments, thoughts, ideas come to my head, and I think they do for other people too. But I have the wisdom and the courage and the strength to not listen and not respond to those voices. I know what to do to keep myself on track and, you know, a path. And the first thing is, and the only thing I have to do perfectly every day is to not drink. See, if I don't drink, then guess what? I have hope. I have hope to have a better day of another better day in my life. I'm sorry, I have the hiccups. Okay? But that's, you know, to me that's important. It is important. You know, because of the fact that I work a program of recovery. Guess what? If you've not been listening, I'm getting married in about a month and a half to a most wonderful person. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that I've been married 3 times before. And you're going, oh, my God, and this is number 4. You know, this is it, man. This is the last time I have found somebody most wonderful in my life. I value her. I respect her. She respects me. And I think we were meant to be with other people. You don't have to be, but I think we were meant to as human beings. I think that my Heavenly Father, my significant being, God, call him whatever you want, higher power, whatever. I call him Jesus Christ. I call him Lord, God, whatever. But I believe he meant for us to be with other people. And I'm very blessed that I found someone who enjoys my company, and I do hers. You know, we took a couples evaluation I don't want to say a test, but it was kind of a test of sorts. Okay, where we, you know, answered questions posed to us so we could better understand each other. And the questions were, you know, your last argument, your last fight, what'd you do this and how'd you resolve it? You know, 3 years I haven't had a fight with this woman. There's nothing to argue about. You know, we don't have inherently opposing ideas. And if we do want something, I respect that of hers. And I let her have it, and vice versa. You know, I don't know. I don't know if we're equally matched, but I'll tell you what, we're wonderfully matched in that sense. I don't know if it's equal, but we get along great. And it's wonderful. Why fix something that's not broken? But, you know, answering these questions just reaffirmed to me that, yeah, I'm doing a good job. I met somebody. I waited. I took the last 23 years of my life, even after I met her, and continued to work on me. 23 years, 6 months, and 24 days, and I'm continuing to work on me. That is my job. That is my responsibility as a person in recovery. And that's everybody's responsibility as a human being on this earth. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? Besides helping us quit drinking or overcoming our addictions, is a wonderful, wonderful way to put us on track how to live life in, under life's terms. You know, this guy came in tonight. I didn't get nutty. I didn't get mad that I told him. I said, I don't want to represent him if we're going to continue to have problems like we have with these properties. I don't, because it's not fun. I'm not here to be a general contractor. I'm not here to be a negotiator for tenants who don't know how to keep their houses up or overcrowd people in houses. And they're going to have to leave at some point. I told them, why don't you let them leave now? Because it's costing him money to have them there. The last person was going to leave his cousin there because he didn't feel responsible for him, although he was legally responsible for bringing him in the house. And I can go on and on, and you don't really care, do you? But you can jump in at any point, share your thoughts, your ideas, comments. If you think I'm nuts, go ahead. Go for it. Make my day. Area code 323-580-5755. And you can join us here on the road to recovery tonight. Tonight is what? March 24th, 2019. It is about 7:25 p.m. We started the show about 5 minutes late. I apologize. So if you hung up or went away thinking that we weren't doing the show, it was because I had a client in my office, and I did my best to, you know, whatever. Did my best to get it done. Get him out, and I can't help it. I was powerless over him. I did say, please be here at 7:30 or 6:30 because I got to do a show. And unfortunately, you know, he still came in when he came in. That's what people do. They do what they want sometimes, and it's just frustrating. I'm not going to tell you it ain't. It is frustrating. Sometimes I feel. All right, so. We're going to talk about some things today that, really, I have very many opinions about life these days and about what's going on. I'm very concerned about our trash situation. And you're like, what are we talking about trash when we have, you know, we're on a show the road to recovery? Well, you know, these are life issues, okay? And for me, they're important, and I'm concerned. I really am. I'm really concerned about the future of our world, because if we don't get this trash situation in control, this trash situation is certainly going to eat us up to some degree, and that's not a good thing. We have no place to put our trash. We are losing our stuff, and we were sending things over to China because they were using it and recycling it and reusing it and on, and they're not doing it no more. They don't want our trash anymore. They refuse to take it. So, you know, we have to figure out what we're going to do with this trash, because it's not going away, and it's not going away on its own, and we better figure out what to do with it so that we don't get, we don't, you know. The lovely Miss Martha and I are going on a honeymoon. Yes, we're going on a honeymoon. That's our plan, at least. And the plan is to go on a honeymoon to where? The Dominican Republic, okay? The Dominican Republic. And you know what I get on the email today? Not today, but this week. I get an email from, you know, Facebook. And the Facebook email shows that the Dominican Republic is just sweltering in waste. It's flooding up against the shore. It is, and it's just terrible. But that's the realities of what's going on in the Dominican Republic. There's trash everywhere, and it's, you know, I'm not looking forward to seeing this. This is supposed to be our honeymoon, but it does wake us up to the realities of the world. And the realities of the world are that we have to do something about this recycling. We have to figure out something. So, you know what? I'm a Lions Club member, okay? I am the president of the West Chicago Lions Club. Lions Club is the largest international service group in the world, okay? At least that's what they tell me, and I believe them, and okay. Okay, so they're the largest service organization in the world. And with that in mind, we try to help our communities through sight and sound, people that need glasses, etc. But I think every once in a while we need to step a little grander, a little bigger, okay? And so with that in mind, I decided as a group that we're going to try and attempt to create a contest for the kids in our school, local schools, to figure out what we're going to do with all this trash. Something's got to be figured out. Maybe the youth of today can figure it out, because otherwise they're going to be drowning in garbage, okay? We have our fills, landfills are just filled to the brim. And so in the process of doing that, I came up with another great idea. So I'm going to repeat the one I told you. This next grand thing is, I believe, okay, here, take a step back, okay? This is what the mind of an alcoholic does. It's constantly thinking about wild and crazy stuff. And I'm no different, because I'm an alcoholic in recovery. Okay, but so years ago, I came up with an idea that if you listen to the news right now, Nebraska, I think it is underwater, most of it, a lot of it, Missouri, flooding. And then we have other parts of the country that are parched and have no water. Why don't we create a national pipeline that could run water from one side of the country to the other? We could turn it on and shoot it to different states that need it. If it's flooding, instead of letting it flood our lands, let's take the water and send it to where it needs to go. Don't you think that would be a healthy thing? I do. And I recognize that it's a monumental task, but the billions of dollars we lose through destruction of products, etc., can be saved over time, putting people to work, creating this national project, and making the world better. It's called irrigation on a grand scale. Now, the next thing that I think we should be doing, and this has been inspired by my contest concept about the trash. You know, we've got a pile of trash out in the middle of the ocean, okay, from my understanding, it is as big as the state of Texas. The state of Texas, that's how big our trash is out in the ocean. That's pretty big, folks. That's monumental. There's nothing small about Texas, okay? And the only good thing that I could say about it, Texas, is all my exes live in Texas. No, they don't. They actually live around here, but that's okay. But the thing about it is, if with this mound of trash, there are our wildlife, our whales, our amongst many other living sea creatures are dying because they're choking on all this trash. They're eating the trash. They don't know any better. They eat, they drive, they fly through it, swim through it, whatever the deal is, and they're getting caught up in it, and it's killing them. And so we better do something if we lose all the wildlife there. You know, that's going to be a scary, horrible, yucky thing. Absolutely, positively. And I'm just telling you, folks. Excuse me. We better do something quick. So my idea. You want to hear my idea? Sure you do. Everybody wants to hear my idea. My idea is pretty good. You know, if you go to Mount Everest, one thing you'll find is that it's the highest mountain in the world, from what I understand, or pretty darn close. I think it's the highest. And people constantly try to climb it. They spend literally thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, maybe even hundreds of thousands, who knows, for the opportunity to climb that mountain, reach the peak, stand up on the highest spot, and then come back down. Now, in the process, they leave a lot of trash, filth, because it's just too much work to carry it down. And in addition, they have dead people up there. They can't bring them down. They haven't brought them down. They let them die and freeze there, and that's it. Amazing. Why don't we take our trash, our plastic, and build the biggest mountain in the world? We have mounds of trash called Mount Trashmore around here, but that's mixed trash, and it's underground. They covered it in dirt. You know, if we feel some great need to cover it in dirt, fine, but I'm thinking, let's not cover it in dirt. Let's see the world. Let the world see where, you know, that all this plastic that we're creating, this plastic waste, and build this incredible mountain and put stairs in it maybe, you know, and make it high and, you know, and use engineering technology and make it safe. Maybe collect water, maybe make it into a big reservoir to collect water with all this plastic, for crying out loud. Instead of pretending it doesn't exist, face it. Pick a spot. Build this mountain. Get it out of the ocean. Stop throwing trash in the oceans. Yeah, let us accept all the recycled plastic. Okay? And let's build this mountain and make it into a tourist exhibit. Why don't we make it the 9th, 8th, 9th, 10th wonder of the world, whatever it is. Make it, and build it as big. And let the world know. This is recycling, how we need to constantly evolve as a society. Well, that's my idea, folks. I hope you liked it. Okay? Boy, did I have a lot to say. I'll tell you, I have been so wound up this week. I'm going to walk away from clients because they're just too needy and unrealistic. And I'm trying to make everybody happy, and the only one that's not happy is me. Or at least I'm definitely the one that I can control. Okay, here. I'm going to read from the Daily Herald. Okay? For March 22nd, 2019, it's the DuPage County version, okay? And this is what I wanted to read about because it's terrible. It's written by Keyshawn and Sarkuskis, Cops and Crimes. They have two pictures of literally police cars that are crumpled. The first caption says, the crumpled remains of an Illinois State Patrol car, police patrol car, after it was hit by a car Wednesday night while stopped along I-55 in downstate St. Clair County. It was the 14th time this year. It's March. 14th time this year, a state police vehicle has been hit while stopped with its emergency lights flashing. How do you miss that? An Illinois State Police trooper, second caption, an Illinois State Police trooper suffered minor injuries Sunday night when he was hit in his patrol car while conducting a traffic stop near Joliet. The driver who hit the trooper's vehicle has been charged with DUI and violating Scott's law. And I'm not quite sure. Maybe we'll find out what Scott's law is, but I think it has to be slowing down in a, I don't know. Well, I don't know for a fact. But the caption of the article is 14 times in 11 weeks, state police already have been hit on the road more this year than in all of 2018 or in all of 2017. The message was simple, a bit humorous and deadly serious. Today is Don't Drive Like a Knucklehead Day, Illinois State Police said in a Twitter post, March 3rd. In a follow-up tweet, state police sent out an image of a smashed rear end of a trooper's patrol SUV stopped along a snowy road. When will this stop? Our 11th squad car has been struck since January 1st, 2019. That's approximately one every 5.5 days. It hasn't stopped. In fact, in the days since those Twitter posts, three more state police cruisers have been hit while stopped along a road with emergency lights flashing. That makes 14 so far this. Well, then I got to go to the next page. Got to get it. This. Here. Okay. Already. More than each of 2017 and 2018. And these aren't mere fender benders. Even 11 of the crashes left troopers injured and one killed trooper, Christopher Lambert of Highland Park. He was struck while helping drivers on I-294 near Northbrook. Authorities allege the Wisconsin man who hit him didn't abide by Scott's law, a.k.a. the move-over law, which requires drivers to slow down and yield to stopped emergency vehicles. He's charged with reckless homicide. Another state trooper was injured Sunday night when a suspected drunken driver barreled into a squad car, again pulled over with its flashing lights on, along I-80 near Joliet, and another happened Wednesday night when a trooper dealing with a downed light pole on I-55 in downstate St. Clair County suffered serious injuries when a semi-trailer truck hit him and his vehicle. What's going on out there? Sergeant Delilah Garcia told us this week there's no simple, obvious answer. We can't really speculate as to why this is happening or what's driving this, Garcia said. Drunken driving has been to blame in some instances, but other crashes have been the result of people driving too fast for conditions, failing to move over for emergency vehicles, and driving while distracted. I just admitted I drove through a red light because I wasn't paying attention. I'm looking at a squad car, and the squad car, a normal squad car, had bicycles attached to it, and it distracted me. We are distracted. We are a distracted society. There's too much going on, too much input. What can be done? I don't know. That's interesting. What can be done? State police and other law enforcement agencies have been spreading the word about Scott's Law since its passage in 2002. It's named after a Chicago firefighter killed by a drunken driver on the scene of a crash along Bishop Ford Highway. Under the law, as it was updated in 2017, drivers approaching any vehicle pulled over with lights flashing must slow down and, if possible, change lanes to create more space. First responders and all emergency personnel risk their lives daily to help and protect the public, Garcia said. We would like to ask the public to make sure they all obey traffic laws, including Scott's laws. Is that too much to ask? No. Now, I just drove on I-90 up towards Rockford, and I got to tell you something. The other thing that they should enforces a law is move out of the left lane if you're not passing people. If you are just chugging it away, you shouldn't be in the left lane. You should be in the farthest lane to the right unless you're passing anybody, then you should move over. Okay, that's my beef, my bitch for the night. I'm so sick and tired of people just sitting there like they need to slow you down. It's their life destiny to sit in the left-hand lane and slow down so that you don't go faster than them. It's just ridiculous. It really is. It's very ridiculous. People have got to stop being selfish. And will it happen in my lifetime? I don't know. I don't think so. I think God predicted that we were all going to get nutty and crazy and such is life. Okay. So going back to it. First response. Oh, we already said that. Okay, go up to the top of the page, including Saskatchewan. Okay. When and where the crashes are happening. Already this year, 14 Illinois State Police vehicles have been hit by passing vehicles as they stopped along a road with emergency lights flashing. That's already more than the total for either 2017 or 2018, and it's on pace to more than double the five-year high of 27 2015. That's just way too many. I feel for those police officers. I really do. You know, it's tough enough to think about it. Pulling somebody over and giving them a ticket. You know, it doesn't make the day of the person who's getting the ticket. They're probably really PO'd about it. But, on the other hand, you break the law, you know, you do the crime, you got to do the time or whatever. But on the other hand, I don't think police officers should lose their lives because of that, from the stupidity of somebody else. I hope I am never one of those stupid people. Really don't go. Okay. 12 of those crashes left a trooper injured. 12 left a trooper injured. So 12 troopers were injured. And one claimed the life of Trooper Christopher Lambert of Highland Park. Here's a look at when and where the crashes happened. Okay. January 4th this year, 4:30 a.m. at St. Clair Avenue and 71st Street, East St. Louis. No injuries. January 6th, 10:44 p.m. on the ramp from Cumberland Avenue to I-90 near Rosemont. Minor injuries. January 12th, 4:45, I-294 near Northbrook. Trooper Christopher Lambert killed. January 15th, near Brinfield, minor injuries to Trooper Peoria County Sheriff's Deputy, also injured. January 24th, I-55 at Route 53 near Bolingbrook, minor injuries. January 24th, 6:58 p.m., 6 minutes later, I-355 ramp to I-55 near Bolingbrook, minor injuries, close by each other there. And I'm going to tell you, yeah, if you drive some of these roads, they're tough. People are going crazy. I'm not any better. I'm no stellar item. Not at all. January 31st, 7:31 a.m., I-355 near Lamont, minor injuries. You think I'd want to be out on that road there? Hell no. January 31st, 11:08 p.m., I-80 near Tinley Park, minor injuries. February 10th, 11:45 p.m., I-57 in Jefferson County, non-threatening injuries. February 12th, 11:15 a.m., I-94 south of Toohey Avenue near Lincolnwood, injuries not life-threatening. February 18th, 11:43 p.m., I-94 near 43rd Street in Chicago, injuries not life-threatening. March 3rd, 11 a.m., I-55 in Montgomery County, no injuries. March 17th, 6:39 p.m., I-80 near Joliet, injuries not life-threatening. March 20th, 10:42 p.m., I-55 in St. Clair County, serious injuries. They're also stepping up enforcement. Already this year, troopers have issued 494 citations for violations of the move-over law, compared to 181 over the same time period last year. And they're reminding people that the law doesn't just protect police and first responders, but others who get stuck along the road. Anyone who's had a flat tire or breakdown along a busy expressway can relate to how, can relate to how nerve-wracking it is to stand by as vehicles whiz past at 70 miles an hour or more. And I'll tell you what, you really need to pull off the road and get out of your car and get away. I always wondered why people were sitting far away from their cars. That is the reason. That's one of the smartest things to do is get over, get off the road, pull over, and get out of the car, because you never know who's going to hit you. Think about your mom or your dad or your sister out there on the side of the road. Garcia said, doing that might be a way to get people to be aware and slow down. Hazard pay. It may not mean much relative to the dangers they face, but at least we pay our law enforcement officers well here in Illinois. According to a report published this month by the home security website, yourlocalsecurity.com, police in the land of Lincoln earn a mean salary of $73,870 a year, ranking them the sixth best paid in the nation. California ranked first at $100,000, followed by New Jersey, Alaska, Washington, and Nevada. Mississippi ranks last. Stun gun ruling and a decision stemming from a pair of cases out of DuPage County, the Illinois Supreme Court ruled Thursday the state cannot require a person packing a stun gun to abide by the same regulations and obtain, it cannot require a person and obtain the same licenses as those carrying a concealed firearm. The unanimous decision involved a pair of men charged with misdemeanor and unlawful use of weapon charges in 2016 for carrying concealed stun guns. Isaiah J. Webb was charged in February that year after Westmont police found he had a stun gun in his jacket pocket while parked in a car. Ronald Greco was charged that August after he was found with a stun gun in his backpack while visiting the Warrenville Grove Forest Preserve. A DuPage County judge tossed charges against both, ruling they violated the Second Amendment Act right to bear arms. State officials repealed, but the Supreme Court sided with the defendants. So that's it for this on this moving over. And you know what? Statistics about drunk driving, they're not good. I've been reading newspaper and article after article about the number of DUIs that people are getting. And it's, I don't know that it's going down. That is why I encourage and suggest, and if they ask me, you know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, I think the push should be on for, instead of 0.08, as it is in Illinois, it should be 0.02. That means you shouldn't even drink and get in behind the wheel. Not in today's world. It's just too dangerous. But that's just part of the reason, okay? And I want you to understand what the real main reason is, okay? And there is a main reason. Why do I suggest that we have a 0.02 for drinking and driving? And I really mean this. I really, absolutely, from the bottom of my heart, think that we should change the laws to recognize that we should not let people get behind the wheel if they've had any alcohol. They shouldn't. It's just too crazy out there. You know, we just talked about it. The poor police officers are getting squashed because people are driving, and they're driving like nuts, and they haven't been drinking even. But, you know, the ones that have, it's even worse. And I don't know that anybody should run the risk of losing their lives because other people are that inconsiderate. But the main reason why I think that we should make it like a 0.02 drinking level, and there's a real reason for it, folks. It's not that I make this stuff up and I just, oh, let's just do this. Why not? Because, you know. And the real reason is because, guess what? There is people, you cannot tell a drunk to have one drink and expect them to not drink more. You know, again, the question came, and it was a great question, and it was poised by one of my future daughter-in-laws at a Christmas dinner we were at in downtown Chicago. And we stopped in this restaurant all of us. The lovely Miss Martha, her daughters, son-in-law, grandkids. And we sat down at this table, and the waiter went along and took everybody's drink order, which they do first and foremost. And we were walking, so we didn't drive at all. We were walking within the hotel a couple blocks. But they took the drink order, and we went down, and everybody ordered a drink. Most of the people, including lovely Miss Martha, ordered a glass of wine or a craft beer. And then the waiter came up to me and said, "Sir, what can I get you to drink?" And I said, "Well, what do you have in the way of soft drinks?" And he looked at me and he said, "Well, we have Sprite and Coke and root beer." And I said, "Great, what kind of root beer do you have?" And so he begins to tell me names, several names, like as in three names. And I go, "Excuse me, first of all, I wasn't born yesterday, and you're lucky if you can get a restaurant or anybody these days to have one kind of root beer, not let alone two or three." And so I said to him, "I think you misunderstood me. I didn't say root beer. I mean beer. I said root beer." He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you wanted a craft beer." I go, "No, thank you." So he corrected. He says, "Okay, sorry about that." So as he walked away, I looked across the table, and Martha's lovely daughter, the oldest one, looked at me and she said, "Well, what would you have done?" And I said, "About what?" And she said, "Well, if he brought you a beer." I said, "I would have probably said, excuse me, but I didn't order a beer," and asked him to take it back and bring me a root beer as I requested. And she said, "Well, what should we have done?" Which was a very interesting question. I never thought about it. And so I said, "Well, probably nothing." And she said, "Nothing?" And I said, "Well, you mean if he brought me a beer?" And she goes, "Yeah, if he brought you a beer and you started drinking it." I said, "Probably nothing." She goes, "Why would we do nothing?" I said, "Because, first of all, you're not going to stop me if I want to do it. Okay? I have to not want it. And I don't want it. I have to constantly remind myself that I'm making better choices, and I don't want to start making bad choices. Now, you can do whatever you feel you need to do for yourself if it bothers you that much, etc. But that's what this program is all about. It's self-taking care of ourselves, one day at a time, one step at a time. It is not anybody else's responsibility, not even my sponsor, to stop me from drinking. That's my responsibility. It is my decision to be made. And I have to remind myself that I need to make good decisions, because when I make good decisions, guess what? Bad things don't happen. Or at least not horribly bad things don't happen. Doesn't mean bad things don't happen, but not like they did when I drank and I had control over that. And that's very important to know. I don't want bad things to happen to me. I don't want them to happen to anybody, for that matter. So I have to continue to make good choices. And I said to her, "But what do you think would happen if I drank a beer?" She goes, "Well, you would probably just keep drinking and drinking and drinking." And I said to her, "More than likely, nothing would happen." She looked at me and she said, "What do you mean nothing would happen?" And I said, "Well, that's actually the worst thing that could happen." She goes, "Why is that the worst thing if nothing happens?" I said, "Because alcoholics think that way. If nothing happened, then I might think that I could drink two or three or four. And once I start drinking, I'm not going to stop." And that's where we get in trouble. That's where we don't know when to put it down. It's not the last drink that gets us, it's the first one. So, it was a good conversation we had, and she asked her questions. I'm glad she did. I was very, glad she was able to feel candid with me. And I answered her in the best way I could, and that was honestly. And that was it. It's important that we take care of ourselves in life. It's important that we do the next right thing. you know, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, I love listening to that woman. She's very matter-of-fact. I wish I had her wisdom. The wisdom of Solomon. Okay, the wisdom of Solomon. And she's pretty wise, and, you know, and she's very matter-of-fact. I'd like to be that. I would definitely like to be that matter-of-fact about things in life and wisdom-wise. But I constantly remind myself that, you know, while there are certain things, one thing that I can be sure is that if I don't drink, I have a great chance of never getting a DUI. I'm not going to say ever because I've heard people getting them and they haven't drank. But realistically, it wouldn't stick. And that's probably the best matter-of-fact thing I know. And with that wisdom, I move forward and forth in my life. Do the best job I can. And I'm glad. I'm glad that I have that opportunity to do those things. So, all right, we're going to take a break here coming up to Marilyn Scott. We're going to put her on because we usually do that around the 8 o'clock hour. But I'm going to hold off just for a second. We'll probably listen for about 10, 15 minutes of Marilyn Scott, if you so care to hang in there. Depending on, you know, it'd be great if somebody called in and had some questions or comments about what they've heard so far tonight, or if there's a specific topic you'd like to address. Area code 323-580-5755. Okay, I'm learning how to get my point across without being a crazy man. You know, I have to admit, Friday night I was bowling with my friend Marvin. Marvin, who wears a kilt quite often, and Marvin. So my son showed up at the bowling alley. What a surprise! What a delightful surprise it was to have my son come. And I said, "Oh my gosh," because he doesn't appear much. And I hate to say this, but I took him off. I unfriended him on Facebook. And people said, "You unfriended your son on Facebook?" And I go, "Yeah." And they go, "Why? Did he do something bad?" No. It's just that I have to take care of myself. And the problem with him and I on Facebook, I see his posts. And what really makes me sad is that he can find all the time in the world for his stepdad, but he doesn't have that time for me. He posts pictures of him and his stepdad all over the country. And I said, "Hey, can I get, like, you know, a couple of hours of your time, maybe go to dinner or something? You know, a little bit more than once every 6 months?" Doesn't happen. But yet, when I see his face, so I can't stop him from doing what he wants to do. And if that's his choice, and if he finds more pleasure in that, sad as that is to me, I accept it. Don't have to like it. I accept it. But I don't need to look at it either. So I think if Dr. Laura was listening, she'd probably commend me and say, "You know, that's probably a smart thing. Don't make a big issue. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. Turn him off. Don't subject yourself to torture." And I don't. I don't anymore. And that's a good thing. And I'm grateful and glad and happy that I'm not doing that thing. Okay? Because I need to take care of Dan. And Dan is a pretty nice guy. I'm not the best guy in the world, but I'm not bad either, okay? And so I'm grateful when good things happen, and when they don't, well, then life goes on. You know what I mean? Life goes on. So, it was a long week. I have a sponsee. I got to tell you, I'm pretty impressed with him. He's been doing his thing. He's been texting me, not calling me, but checking in. And he's usually very upbeat. Is he drinking? We never talk about it. Doesn't mean he isn't drinking, but I'm just going to take him that at least he's calling. That's what you need to do. It would be great if he did a little bit more so that we can touch base. But you know what? You can't make people do things that they don't want to do. And he's got to do whatever works best for him if he wants what I've got. And if he likes what I got. And what I have is honesty. Did I tell him I had some problems this week? I did. I told him. I said, "Hey, I got some issues going on this week. It's not been an easy week." And he was supportive. He, you know, said, hey, I understand, and good luck, and whatever. And, hey, what else can you say? I'm grateful that he was there. We, you know, got a chat. And that was it. We kind of moved forward, moved on, right? So, but at least he's checking in every day, and that's something that it was hard for him to start in the beginning. And that's progress. It's not perfection. It's progress, not perfection, guys. You know, if you expect yourself to be perfect from the start, it's not going to happen. In fact, you know what? I'm looking for a set of keys that I had this week. I'm looking all over and cannot find them. Don't know what happened to them. I put them in a safe place so I wouldn't lose them. Guess what? Yours truly lost them. I put them someplace. I have no clue where I'm at. I thought I found them today. I was very excited. I was about to, you know, hey, everybody, I found the keys. And then to my disappointment, I realized and recognized that I didn't find them. I found another set of keys that I wasn't really looking for. So, oh, well. Hopefully I'll find them, and if not, I had to fess up to the owner, and they weren't very happy about it, but they said they accept it, and that's just the way it is. So, all right, we're going to play Marilyn Scott for the next 10, 15 minutes if you want to listen to her. She's great. I love her. And we'll be back with more of The Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Link Local Network of Broadcasting, in about, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. We'll see what happens. I got a few things to take care of work-wise, too, by the way. So enjoy, and if you have any questions or comments, try calling in, okay? All right.
If today were the last of all days, would it change how you feel who you are? Would you rise for a moment above all your fears, become one with the moon and the stars? Or would you like what you see? Did you give everything that you could? Have you done everything that you wanted to do? Is there still so much more that you want? Follow your dream to the end of the rainbow, waving your one pot of gold. Open your we'd only begin to start living our lives if today were the last of all days. If today were Diamond says that now your mind desires a vacation. Free to join in fun and plenty of recreation. There are ways you would take it at. Please have a good temptation. Yeah, 'cause what is it gonna stay till old Father Time decides to change? Diamond says that your mind is requesting a reprisal. That is fine.
staring into each other's eyes so deep.
until you love the love you had to lose. You don't know what love is.
You don't know how lips hurt until you kiss and had to pay the flipped your heart and you had lost. You don't know the end.
Do you know how a lost heart feels? And the thought of reminiscing.
Cannot live yet never die
until you face the dawn with sleepless eyes. You don't know what love is.
You don't know what love is.
As I love listening to that woman, I am going to jump back online here and say welcome again to The Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba. Coming back from a good 20-minute or so break here, listening to the lovely Marilyn Scott. I wonder why she never made it really, really, really big, but boy, I'll tell you, I've certainly enjoyed her music ever since I heard the first song. Today was the last of all days. What a great song. Meant a lot to me. It made me think and reflect on my life. And I decided to continue down the path of change. And I want my life to make a difference and to be a positive example and so on and so forth, those in need. And, well, there you are. That's what I'm doing today. And then the lovely Miss Mia Keene beginning us out with her song on If You're Not Alone. And just a reminder that your heavenly power, my heavenly power, my higher power, who I choose to call Jesus Christ, is with us each and every moment of the day. And all we have to do is reach out and ask him for his help. Turn over our problems to him and let him take care of them. We don't have to necessarily do it. We get caught up in this world. This world is so crazy these days. So many goofy, crazy things. But while we are still alive on this earth, okay, we might as well do the best job we can and enjoy life as much, because we were put on this earth to enjoy it. Okay, but not to the point where we got to chase every dollar. It's amazing, you know. It's the numbers we're talking. You can only go so long before something happens. So I'm just going to remind everybody to, prepare for the worst. I hate to say that, but how do you prepare for the worst? By indulging in prayer, okay? Stay away from alcohol, drugs. If you have an addiction, gambling, get help. There is help out there. You don't have to go at it alone. I'm an example of one of the resources that are available. And why would I do this? Why do I do this every Sunday night? Almost for 2 hours every Sunday night for 7 years. Because I know what it's like to be caught up in an addiction. And this is a way to help me out. This helps me out because I talk about it. I talk about the things that go on in my head. Some crazy-ass things going on in my head. But you know what? I don't have to own it, live it, own it. And I can get beyond it. And that's an important thing in my life today. I want to get beyond it. So absolutely, positively, if you've got a problem with drugs or alcohol or gambling or sex or pornography, there is help to be had. First of all, always reach up to the man in the sky. That's right. Always pray to God. Okay, for his help and strength. I don't think we do it enough, and I know I don't. But then, you know, you could use some help on earth, and people like myself that have experienced problems and challenges, okay, we know what it's like. We've been there. We're not going to fix you, but we can share with you what we did to get help, and you can get help too by going and reaching out and doing the next right thing. And it's not always the easiest thing to do, the next right thing. What is the next right thing? Well, you know what? There's a little voice inside of our head that does kind of push us along into the right direction. And all we have to do is surrender to that voice and listen. And if it's saying goofy stuff, obviously turn the channel, okay? Turn the channel. That's not a good thing either. I want to say a shout-out to Steve-O. Thank you, Steve, for setting up the page. I wonder what you did this time. I haven't seen it, so we're going to go take a look at it. Road to Recovery.club. Road to Recovery.club. Steve's got, I love this. I don't know how he does this stuff. Puts some nice graphics up. Let you know that there is help. He's got a little inchworm that goes across. Tough love. What is tough love? When is the proper time to apply it to your life situation? Got a, you know, and he's got it here. Being cruel, to be kind with addicts. Somebody close to me is telling me about her daughter, and her daughter is being abused by another man, and they're drinking. And she said, "I don't know what I could do." And I said, "I know what you could do. It's called tough love. Tough love means stop. Stop. Don't letting people do this anymore to you. Okay? It's not good. It's not healthy. It is not healthy. Let me see here. I'm going to cancel that because I want to get this whole page. Let's see here. Print it. Let's see if we can get this page printed. But yes. You know, tough love. Being cruel to be kind with addicts. Loving other people usually means showing affection and being nice to them. But this is not always the case. Sometimes loving somebody can mean treating them in a harsh or stern manner. This is often referred to as tough love. When dealing with those individuals who have become addicted to alcohol or drugs, it may be necessary to act in a way that might be perceived as a bit cruel. But people may feel the need to do this out of a desire to be kind. And again, if you want to, you know, sound in on this topic here, it's a good one. Maybe we'll do it for another 15 minutes or so before we wrap up the show. But, you know, tough love. You find yourself in a situation where you have a loved one that's caught up in an addiction. You know, the toughest thing is to put distance away. You know, I heard Dr. Laura talking about this guy, how he's 72 years old today. I was listening to it. He's 72 years old today, and he's broken up with his girlfriend 3 times, and he doesn't want to get back to her, but he doesn't know how to tell her that he doesn't want to be with her. Dr. Laura just scratched her head and said, "Really? You don't know?" You know, they don't even live in the same state anymore. And he goes, I can't break it off with her. She says, "You don't want to break it off. That's really the problem. If you want to break it off, you will." Okay, but he doesn't, so he won't. It's tough. It is tough. Tough love defined. Tough love can be defined as love or affection that is expressed in a stern or unsentimental manner. The usual motivation for acting in such a way is to promote good behavior. For example, if a parent speaks in angry tones to their child, they are likely doing so to encourage this young person to follow the rules. With tough love, the individual is treating the other person harshly out of desire to help that person. They are not acting that way out of malice or knee-jerk anger. Tough love and addiction. Sometimes family members and friends may need to employ tough love when dealing with an addict. It can be heartbreaking to watch this person destroy their life, but loved ones may feel helpless to stop the deterioration. They will likely have tried being reasonable, but the addict is often in complete denial about their problem. In fact, helping them may seem to be making the situation worse. There often comes a stage when a family members realize that being nice just isn't working. In fact, being nice can be part of the problem because it could be enabling the addict. This is because such those who have become dependent on alcohol or drug quickly learn how to manipulate other people in order to get their way. They can use a willingness of other people to help against them. This is why loved ones come to the conclusion that the only option left open to them is tough love. Now, interesting, right? Tough love. We're talking about tough love. Enabling an addict occurs when family and friends protect this individual from the consequences of their actions. Such protection can be detrimental for a number of reasons, including most addicts will become willing to escape their addiction once they have hit their personal rock bottom. If loved ones protect the individual from the negative consequences of their actions, then it is likely to delay the arrival at the point where they are ready to quit. Get that? Most addicts will become willing to escape their addiction once they have hit their personal rock bottom. If loved ones protect the individual from the negative consequences of their actions, then this is likely to delay the arrival at the point where they are ready to quit. Enabling an addict means that other people suffer the consequences of the addict's behavior while they remain untouched by these consequences. So taking on their pain. Some individuals become so wrapped up in sorting out the mess of the addict's life, they become codependent. This means that their own identity becomes lost as they are so focused on the behavior of this other individual, it's like they become addicted to the chaos. The addict will often have no scruples about manipulating those individuals who are trying to help them. They can be summed up in the saying that if you give them an inch, they will take a mile. By enabling the addiction, it is almost like giving consent to the behavior, or at least it will appear that way to the addict. Those who fall into substance abuse gets completely caught up in denial and delusion, and anyone who enables them may be just reinforcing this departure from reality. You didn't hear anything that said you were doing them a favor, because it's not true. Dangers of codependence in addiction. Addicts tend to attract certain types of individuals into their life, spouses and partners, that can be described as codependent. Those who develop codependency tend to come from dysfunctional families, and they believe that it is their job to fix the problem of other people. Oh, boy, that's not my family in a nutshell. And literally, peep, peep, nutshell. Okay, the codependent person tends to suffer from low self-esteem, and they may believe that they deserve to be treated badly. Such individuals are more likely to fall into a relationship with an addict because they believe that this is the type of relationship they deserve. Boy, have I been there and done that. The dangers of codependency include they will enable the bad behavior of the addict. They will devote their life to cleaning up the mess created by this other individual. Isn't that amazing? They will cover up for the addict. This individual may be willing to put up with a great deal of mental and physical abuse. They may believe that they deserve this type of treatment. If their partner gives up the addiction, the codependent person can struggle to cope. This is because their identity depends on looking after this other person. If their partner gives up the addiction, a codependent can struggle to cope. They might not be able to handle it because they don't know how to function with healthy people. This is because their identity depends on looking after this other person. Using tough love when dealing with addicts. Employing tough love with an addict involves no longer allowing the addict to manipulate those who love them. Okay? It may involve giving the substance abuser an ultimatum, for example. Either they get help or they stay away. It means making decisions and sticking with them no matter how much the addict pleads or cajoles. In some cases, it can mean breaking off all contact with the addict. Refusing to enable the addict in any way, this means ensuring that they are not spared the consequences of their actions. And it could be death, folks. How sad, but true. It can often mean cutting the purse strings. This means no longer giving or lending any financial assistance. Sometimes an intervention can be used to attempt to coerce the individual into getting help for their addiction. This usually involves family and friends. Family and friends getting together to confront the addict. The power of numbers can make a difference. Yes and no. I'm not sure of that. Okay? Really, I'm not sure of that. But it doesn't matter. That is a very interesting page to read. And you can find that on the page on the roadtorecovery.club. R-O-A-D, the number 2, club, C-L-U-B, dot, no, roadtorecovery.club. Not .com, it's .club. Okay? So, all right, listen, we are going to probably wrap this show up early again, probably in a couple minutes, because I'm running out of things to say, and that's okay. It was a good evening. I got a bunch out the first hour. Nobody talked, but, hey, y'all listened, hopefully. And if you got something out of it, great. If not, I still feel really good, much better than I did when I first started, trying to squeeze everything in. And that's what this program does. It helps me. It helps you. Maybe if it helps you, that's a good thing. If not, well, oh well. All right, listen, have a great week unless you have other plans. Listen again next Sunday when we come back on the air at 7 p.m. or a little later. I'm sorry. Sometimes it happens, okay? But we will be back, the best I know, we will, with more of the Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Linked Local Network of Broadcasting. Okay, I want to thank you for listening. Hope you got something out of this, and I hope you tune in again. I have guests anticipated, but I hate talking about them until I know, get a confirmation they're coming. And when they do, we'll try to post it on Facebook. In fact, why don't you go to our Facebook page, The Road to Recovery, and like us. That would be great. It would be nice to know who's out there listening, okay? Thanks again. Good night, everyone. Oh, and, yeah, let's get that drinking level down to 0.02. That would be a good start, huh? Okay, good night. Have a great week.